Today, I'd like to invite you to think big, really big today. You know, so often we tend to think small. We think about, am I going to heaven personally? Or is my denomination the right one? Or are we right about this? Or are we wrong about this? But I'd like to think today about little bigger themes. Think about themes like creation and redemption and the purpose of life. Now, today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday after Pentecost, so we're concluding the church year today. You know, the church year is set up so that we experience all the phases of Christ's life. We start with his birth, and we go through his life, through his death and resurrection. And then we come up to the end of the year where we think of Christ ascending into heaven and being seated at the right hand of God. That's what we say in the Nicene Creed. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. So today on Christ the King Sunday, we're thinking about how Jesus ascended into heaven. Our gospel story today is the story of the crucifixion. And it portrays Jesus as a true king. He forgives his executioners. He invites the repentant criminal to come into the kingdom. And over him, ironically, is a sign that says, Jesus, the King of the Jews. So all these ways of showing that Jesus is a true king, a noble person. And we think of Christ the King reigning in heaven, and at the last day, Christ will judge all people because Christ has been given all authority and Christ is the King of the universe. So that's a really big idea. And the power of the image of a king is that a true king rules with righteousness and justice. So this propels us to work for justice, to work for the coming of the kingdom of God. It's a very powerful image, the reign of God coming with Christ. But there are problems with the image of Christ as a king. We have this image in our minds of God sitting on a throne in heaven, and I think probably most of us realize that that's probably not literally true. God is not an old man with a white beard sitting on a throne in heaven. It's not that attractive or compelling of an image today. For one thing, a king is an image of male domination, which leaves out 50% of the human race. It's offensive. Patriarchy is a thing of the past. We don't believe that men ought to dominate over women, so this image of a king is offensive to many people. And besides that, kings have unlimited power, which means that there are other people who don't have any power at all. And historically, in human history, kings have misused their power, and so that's why we have democracies. We don't live with kings anymore, or monarchies. We live in democracies. So this whole image of a king is something that's hard for people to relate to. So the image of Christ as king is not very compelling today. People say it's just another power trip, and the church is just another institution that is telling me what to do. No thanks. No kings for me. So maybe we ought to retire the image of Christ as king and look for a better image. And as it happens, we have a better image in the New Testament lesson today in the letter to the Colossians. It is the image of the cosmic Christ. I don't know if you've heard of the cosmic Christ before. The letter to the Colossians was written to correct false teaching in the church at Colossae. There were some people apparently there who were teaching that Once you'd been baptized, you still needed to learn more things. You need to learn about angels and all these realms of spiritual existence so that you could become more spiritually advanced than other people. And Paul is saying in the letter to the Colossians, no, all you need is Christ. Christ is above all, and Christ is in all. And our lesson today is part of a hymn about Christ. Apparently this hymn was in existence and was used in worship in those days. And so Paul is quoting this hymn to try to make his point. It says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created. So what it's saying is that in the beginning, before God created the heavens and the earth, Christ was already in existence. In Genesis, we think of the creation story, how there was nothing but wind and water and chaos and darkness. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and that was the beginning of creation. Well, what Colossians is saying is that Christ was born even before that. The hymn says, he is the firstborn of all creation. So Christ was born even before God created the heavens and the earth. The hymn goes on. It says, he himself, Christ himself, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So in other words, Christ is like the animating force of the universe, and Christ sustains all life. What an interesting image. It's a universal image, cosmic image. You've heard that saying, love makes the world go round. Well, I think it's true not just in a romantic sense or in a sentimental sense, but in the sense that God created the universe out of love. The love of Christ is what made the galaxies and the solar systems and the earth. And it's the love of Christ that sustains it and keeps it going. So this is big stuff. And what it's saying that is that Christianity isn't just another religion. It's not like we have a franchise like McDonald's and we're competing against the other religions, you know, Hinduism and Judaism and Islam. What it's saying is that the Christ we worship is the animating force of the entire universe. Colossians says, in him all things in heaven and earth were created. In him, all things hold together. What a big idea. The poet Wendell Berry writes this. I take literally the statement in the Gospel of John that God loves the world. I believe that the world was created and approved by love. That it subsists, coheres, and endures by love. And that insofar as it is redeemable, it can be redeemed only by love. I believe that the divine love, incarnate and dwelling in the world, summons the world always toward wholeness, which ultimately is reconciliation and atonement, or at-one-ment, with God. In other words, love makes the world go round. And for Christians, it's the love of God in Christ that makes the world go round. You know, when I go hiking in the mountains, I go by myself, but I never feel alone because I know that God is there in the mountains and in the trees and in the forests and the streams and the animals. God is all around me. Christ isn't just a religious idea that we keep in the Bible and that we keep in church, but Christ is everywhere. And Christ is in everything. In the third chapter of Colossians, it says, Christ is all and in all. It's the cosmic Christ that Colossians is talking about. So what this means is that Christ is working in everything to sustain and to redeem the universe. And whenever there is good things happening, Christ is in them working. Whenever there are bad things happening, Christ is there suffering as well. When there is change and development and evolution, Christ is there also in the change. Christ is in everything. So I think Christ is at work in all people, in all countries, in all religions. Christ is all and in all. Richard Rohr says that we've forgotten who Christ is. We sort of think that Christ is Jesus' last name. It's not his last name, it's his title, Jesus the Christ. Jesus shows us who God is. Colossians says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So when we see Jesus, what we're seeing is God's love in a human form. Colossians says that Christ is the head of the body, the church. So when we are the church, we are Christ in the world. And the purpose of the church is to show the love of God to the world. So let's think big. Christ is not just a king on a throne in heaven judging people, but Christ is the life force of the universe that flows through all people and all things. Christ is the love of God in all things and in all people. He is the cosmic Christ. Big idea. So when we come to celebrate communion, the love of Christ is present in the bread and the wine. And when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we become part of Christ, and Christ becomes part of us. And when we go out from here, we take the love of Christ with us. We are part of something big, the love of God in Christ, the cosmic Christ. Amen.